One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your children ask for a fish, will give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, will give them a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Shall we pray together? Father God, thank you for this chance to gather around your word and your communion. Lord, I pray this morning as we focus ourselves on you, as we pause and reflect on who you are, help us to pray, teach us to pray more, and help us to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, we may glimpse your face this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning. Happy Thursday. How are we all doing? We're all doing well? Yes, good thumbs up. Exciting. Happy New Year as well, because I haven't seen many of you as we start this new year. If I haven't met you before, because there are some faces I don't recognise still. My name's Aidan, and I'm the curate here at Christchurch. And it's a great privilege to be with you this morning and talk about prayer and introduce on our Thursday morning services our prayer series, as Joe spoke about. Now, we're going to be spending the weeks up until Lent doing Lord Teach Us to Pray, this series, and we're going to be using Pete Gregg's book that's on our little shelf there, which I'll get to in a second. It's the Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray. Pete Gregg being the founder and the director of 24/7 Prayer, an international prayer movement that has really helped churches grow in their prayer and seen the lives of churches change. Now, this Sunday, Joe introduced our series on a Sunday, and I was able to listen to it on our brand new podcast as I was driving back from Wales. And he spoke about how prayer is central to our relationship with God, and even more than that, he said that prayer is what we were made to do. Now, there's a penguin up there on our shelf. I don't know if you can see. He used the analogy of a penguin. So a penguin, just as it walks on land, looks a bit uncomfortable. When it swims through the water, that's what it's made to do. It flies through the water. That's what a penguin is made to do. Us, when we're not in our relationship with God, when we're not living out our prayer life with God, yes, we're still humans. We're still made in the image of God. But as we pray, as we delve deeper into our relationship with God, that is what we are made to do. We become the people we were made to do. So that's what he was talking about. And this, on our Thursday services, what we're going to be doing, much as we did through our What Does It Mean to Be Christchurch series, we're going to be kind of unpacking one part of what we've been looking at that week as a church, maybe delving deeper into one area. And I could do the similar question that Joe asked, which is why pray? But I think a lot of us here get the reason why we pray. I saw a lot of people nodding as Joe talked about that penguin. Yes, we agree that prayer is important. Yes, we agree that prayer is something we want to do. But I wonder if actually this morning it might be more helpful to look at prayer as a spiritual discipline. Why it's important for us to put effort and energy and devotion into our growing in prayer. Because I think a lot of us, and this is maybe just me, think I'd love to grow in prayer. I'd love to be more devoted in my prayer life. And this time next year, you know, we've just started a new year and a new decade. We might think, right, this time next year, I want to be this far deeper in my prayer life. But we find it a little bit hard. We find it a little bit jaded. You know, there's various reasons why. And I want to talk about the spiritual discipline of prayer and how we steadily can grow in our prayer lives. But first of all, I think it's important to think about spiritual disciplines as a whole. You know, so that we can understand what I mean when I say prayer as a spiritual discipline. You know, spiritual discipline, it may be a term that you're familiar with and you're comfortable with, but actually the term discipline might put you off, because often it comes with negative connotations, doesn't it, of punishment, and discipline is a negative word sometimes. But actually, discipline, in its true original form, comes from a Latin word, disciplina, which means teaching, learning, or knowledge. And in turn, it kind of comes from discipulus, which means learner or pupil, which is where we get our word disciple from. Disciplines are what disciples do. Spiritual disciplines are what disciples do. If that term is still confusing, think of spiritual disciplines as the practices of Jesus. You know, we are Christians, followers of Jesus, seeking to grow in faith and in our relationship with God, so that we grow to look, act, and think more like Jesus. And spiritual disciplines are the things that Jesus did. And as disciples, they are the practices that we do. We want to pray like Jesus prayed. Know and love the scriptures like Jesus loved them. Love people like Jesus did. Forgive as we have been forgiven, and so on. These are what spiritual disciplines are, the practices of Jesus. And prayer is a spiritual discipline that we can grow in. And it's hoped that the longer we are Christians, the more we would grow in it. You know, as we spend longer time growing in our faith, there'll be an upward trajectory so that eventually, you know, we're praying a bit like Jesus prayed. But that's not always been my experience. You know, prayer is a good example of my whole spiritual life. You know, as I said, we've just started this hot new year and I'm really excited. And I might think, right, this year is going to be the year I get my prayer life down. And you know what? I start, I make a resolution, I get up an extra hour earlier, and I sit there and I devote myself in prayer. And the next day I'm like, oh, I can go for it, but I'm a little bit late, I'm 5 minutes late. And then the third day I'm really tired because I've just remembered I've got a young baby, and no sleep is killing me. And so I might miss that third day, but the fourth day I'm like, no, I've got to go back on it. But the reality is, if I try really hard to go, you know, all out, maybe spend an hour or 2 hours in prayer, I'm just going to fail. I'm just going to fall short. And there's no way I'm going to pray like Jesus prayed. You know, that Jesus devoted himself almost the whole night in prayer at times. I'm not going to get there straight away. I think the problem is, for me, is that I want to be a super prayer or a prayer warrior just like that. I want to be zapped and suddenly be like Jesus in everything I do. But that isn't how it works. Now, this may just be me, but I'm pretty sure it isn't. I think this is a fairly common Christian experience. I'll use the analogy that of a marathon runner. So if I decided I want to run a marathon, okay, and I decided, right, tomorrow I'm going to be a marathon runner, I'm going to run a marathon, I'm going to give it a go. Now, you're probably all aware that that's probably not something I'm going to do. But if I gave it a go, if I decided tomorrow I'm going to run a marathon, I'd probably go, and I've run occasionally in my life, and I know I'd probably get to about 5 miles, and that's when I'd hit the wall. And then if I was really committed and really kept going, I'd probably get to about 10 miles, and then I'd probably die. My body would just give out, and there's just no way I'm going to run a marathon. I am not a marathon runner, I think it's safe to say. Now, if I said this time next year, I'm going to run a marathon, and I'm going to do it, and that's what's going to happen. I'm going to be a marathon runner next year. By the time I get to the end of this year, I will be able to do a marathon. But I did no training. What would happen is next year, I'd go to the start line, I'd run a marathon, and I'd die. It'd still happen. However, if I decided this time next year I'm going to be a marathon runner, I'd like to get there, and today I run 1 mile, next week I'd look to run 2 miles, maybe a couple of times a week, and the week after 3 miles, and steadily build on it and steadily progress, it might just possibly get to the point, and a lot of people I've heard have experienced this, where they get to the point where actually a marathon is no longer impossible. It is something, it's never easy, but it's something well within the realms of possibility.